simple, said so loud. Leather, leather everywhere, and not a miss left from the ghetto. Well, 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 would you carry a pistol in case, just in case of depression? Sit on your hands on the bus of survivors, blushing at all the Afro sealers. Ain't that close to love? Well, ain't that close to love? Well, it ain't that far before. Hearts feel broken just like you and all night, what the young American.
Laguna Beach, Laguna's only FM, KX93.5.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying the listening audience that the opinions expressed on any public affairs show do not reflect those of KX93.5, its management, or the board of directors.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Saturday. Uh-oh, Scott's playing with his headphones. Are you there?
I'm here. Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome. It's 9 o'clock. That means it's time for the Friendship Show.
Whee!
Here on KX93.5 FM. Obviously, Scott Hayes is here this week.
And Don. Don't forget Don.
Don's here, I think. Are you there?
I am now.
There you are. Okay.
There I am.
I hear you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
How is everyone?
Don.
I'm good.
Yep.
Are you good?
I'm good. Everybody's good. Now what?
Everyone's good. Now I say it.
Happy right. Mother's Day to Mark's mom. We know she listens every Saturday.
Yeah, my mom is listening. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I don't know. I'll call her today. Well, I'll call
her
tomorrow.
That may be a good plan.
Well, I don't think she has plans yet for tomorrow. I don't think she really knows what's happening because my sister's going to Washington, D.C. next week, and so they're trying to get out of town, and I don't know how that's affecting the Mother's Day plans.
Oh, the
over
extravaganza.
There, yeah. But we'll work that out.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing for Mother's Day? Are you guys going to talk to your moms?
Don.
My sister's going to be in town, actually.
Oh,
my
she
sister's
is?
She's here from Wisconsin, so...
Oh,
I'll
wow.
be hanging out with my sister, not my mom, but my sister.
That's nice.
She's a good mom.
That's nice. Are you going to bring her by work so we can meet her?
Maybe on Monday. Maybe.
Really? Have we met your sister?
We'll see. No, you have not met my sister.
Is this an older or younger sister?
Younger sister, my baby sister.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to see your mom later today?
Yeah, of course. I'm going to see her after the radio show this morning. Both my parents still live in Tustin, if you can believe that. They're like 87, 84 years
nice.
Old.
Oh, good for them.
And they're getting along. So, we're going to head over there this morning.
Okay. Is there anything else going on? Any shelter news? Any breaking news at
breaking shelter.
Friendship Shelter?
We kind of taken a little break. We had so much going on. We had a great event at Adrift this past week.
Oh, that's right. I was there.
Nice trunk show for us and a fundraiser for us. And they're our neighbor, and I'd never been in their store, I'm embarrassed to say. But it's a wonderful little store.
Oh, really? A friend of mine actually helped the owner of that store open it. So I do really like that store.
Yeah.
And that. The trunk show. It was jewelry.
Yeah.
Hand-designed jewelry. Which
yeah.
It was
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Nan Fulton? Nan Fusco? Nan Fusco.
Nan Fusco.
Yeah.
You can check her out if you need some jewelry for Mother's Day. Yep. There's still time.
Yep, there is.
Anything else?
Not on my end.
Okay.
No.
All right. Oh, you guys are just...
I lead a boring life.
Yeah, you guys are just full of all kinds of interesting...
I'm full of it, all right.
Okay. I'm really excited this morning.
Yeah, me.
Because we have not just an award-winning film producer in the studio with us this morning, but someone that I really like. I mean, she's just a really, really nice lady. And did I mention beautiful?
Yeah, and she lights up the room as soon as she walks in. I mean, like the whole room just takes on a whole new personality.
She is the keeper of all things light and sunshine. That's what she does.
I love that.
So in case you haven't guessed by now, Paula Perini is here today to talk about her award-winning film, The Night Shift Belongs to the Stars, which we had the event at Port Theater a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about. And Paula came to introduce her film. And I have to, well, we can get into that, but I hadn't seen the film until she showed it at the Port Theater, and I was astonished. I was absolutely blown away. I didn't know what to expect, and when I saw the film, I was like, that's a big deal. That's like a real movie you made.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting her.
Okay. Yeah, she's going to be here in a second. Right now, she's jotting down notes and fixing her hair. All right. Should we listen to some music?
Sure.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk to Paula. I was hoping it was going to be sunshine today. I had, like, in my head, I imagined today would be sunshine. So maybe we can conjure up some sunshine. We'll see. Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute. Oh, here. How's that?
That's playing.
I can see clearly now.
You need the mic on? Would you like me to sing along?
No, you don't want me to sing along. Welcome back to the Friendship Show here on KX935, Laguna Beach's only FM. We're in the studio this morning with award-winning film producer Paula Perini.
Ciao.
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 How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. Oh. Wow, this is beautiful. You have a beautiful place.
This is a great studio.
Yeah. Isn't this nice?
It really is.
You know, we should get Paula hooked up with Tyler Russell, because the entrepreneurial spirit in that room with the two of them would be amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tyler's the guy who started the theater.
Oh.
Or started the radio station.
But you need to understand my Italian English.
Oh, he'll be fine.
Okay.
What? You're Italian?
No. I'm American with an Italian accent.
You're American with an Italian accent. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are the producer of The Night Shift Belongs to the Stars.
The most difficult title ever. In Italian is Il turno di notte lo fanno le stelle. Oh. That is a little bit easier, but...
That's a little easier to say, you think? Not so much in California. And this is the first film that you've produced?
Yes.
This is your very first film project?
Yes.
You've never worked on a film before?
No, never, never.
And now this film is being seen all over the world?
Yes, actually, we got shortlisted for the Academy Awards, and we just won the Tribeca Film Festival. It's been such a beautiful emotion for us because it's kind of beautiful. We were with two other, 2,800 other short films that were all beautiful, so we were sure to not win, but we won.
You were so sure you didn't win that you didn't stay for the awards.
Yeah,
ceremony.
I cannot believe it. I miss Robert De Niro.
Oh, my goodness.
Did Robert De Niro give out the prize?
He was there, but I don't even know. I don't want to know if he gave out the prize. It's something that I don't want to face.
Where were you when Robert De Niro was announcing you as the winner of his personal film festival?
It was my girlfriend's birthday in Laguna Beach. So I say, I will never win. Let me go to my girlfriend. Friendship is very important. So it's all about friendship.
Yeah, there you go.
So you were in California?
I was flying from New York to California. I just stayed in Tribeca for a few days. And the day of the awards, we all left because we were also sure to not win. Even Edoardo Ponti, the director, called me and said, Paola, if we win... And I said, no, we'll not win.
It's a good point in May because it's exactly what you said. 2,800 short films are submitted to the Tribeca Film Festival to be juried in. 2,800 movies are submitted. Of those 2,800, 60 of them actually make it into the festival. So if you've made it into the festival, you've already won. You're already one of the best filmmakers in the world.
For this reason, we were so happy that we really didn't care about the awards. Because to be with so many amazing directors and filmmakers was already for us like, wow, so beautiful.
Absolutely.
But, you know.
Someone's got to win.
Someone's got to win. It may as well be you.
I will say that the Tribeca Film Festival, their website describes The Night Shift Belongs to the Stars as probably one of the very few short films worthy of a red carpet event.
Yeah, we did. Again, to win in this festival has been very important because the people that organize Tribeca Film Festival are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And so, really, I'm really happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how did you come to make this film? What were you doing that led you to produce this international film?
It's all your fault.
Well, it came out of left field for us. We were, you know, you're on our board at Friendship Shelter, and we knew you as a local realtor and a wonderful fundraiser and friendraiser for us. And then you start telling us you're going to go off. And then, Ari DeLuca. Then you started working with him, and we thought, well, that's nice. Paola has this little side thing she does with this little writer from Italy, and we didn't really understand that either. And then you say you're making a film, and I will be the first to admit a lot of us were pretty much patting you on the head and saying, go off, that'll be fun, good for you. And then you come back with this amazing film.
You know, I say it's all about you, your fault, because I come from a country that is an amazing country, but we lost the idea that if you work hard, you can succeed in what you really like. And knowing a lot of wonderful people in US, becoming part of your country, I really understood that if you do things with a lot of hard work and believing in something that can relate to your feelings, to your ethics, to your way to live life, you can succeed. So really, Don, it has been also your fault.
if I did.
So Ari De Luca is the writer of this film, yeah. And you were working with Ari prior to making the film. So how did you meet Ari De Luca, who is a famous writer?
Ari De Luca is, I believe, the most famous alive writer in Italy. He's very, very famous in France, Israel, all over Europe. The problem with his American fame is that he's a very special guy. He doesn't care about being famous, so he got translated very badly. So I'm trying to rebuild his books, because he wrote over 70 books. He's a non-believer, but he's very famous because he translated the Old Testament from Old Hebrew. He's self-taught of Old Hebrew, Yiddish, and is a special person. Let's say that he really changed my way to see things. He made me understand that you don't need to... I come from a country that if you don't have a big name and if you don't have a lot of money, you don't succeed. He made me understand that actually it's not true. You only need to have great ideas and follow them. And I started to work with him. It's a very complicated story. Thanks to my mom. To mom is Mother's Day.
Uh-huh.
And my mom is a big fan of Ari De Luca. And one day at the conference say, oh, I have this daughter. She emigrated to California. Can you please write her an email? And this is how I met Ari De Luca.
Wow. Our moms never stop looking out for
Make
us.
A short story.
And then, so you were really retranslating Ari De Luca's work to English?
No, I didn't. I read Ari in Italian. This has been the opportunity. And if I wasn't in America, I will never have the guts to ask Ari, can I work for you? And he said, okay. Because in Italy, everybody is afraid to talk to him. So for this reason, again, American helped me to be shameless.
We are good at that.
Oh, very good.
You do it. I mean, but that's what lots of people say, right? You something about you always get 100% of what you never ask for. And so if you don't ask, you never know. But yeah. If you don't ask, the answer is definitely going to be no.
Yeah. But in Italy, people forgot, because we had 20 years of bad politics that were really, really, really bad. And so people forgot how to believe, really.
Really?
Yeah, wow. They did.
So you literally asked him if you could work for him and started doing public relations for him?
I started to do a little bit of everything. I hope people... my sister always say, how did you do it? Because she always thought that I'm not such a good writer. But I started to really help him how edit his books, how organize meetings for him, because he's a very unique case of a famous guy that really avoided everything called money and fame. So I said, Ari, if you make more money, you can make a foundation and give money to the people you want. So I made a foundation in Italy with Ari called Ari De Luca Foundation. In Italy, to have a foundation is very important. So I convinced her through him through the years to be more to make even money to do things that he likes, like you with Friendship Shelter, to help
do
in different ways.
And yeah, and the money follows.
Yes, and the movie has become a passion that he didn't even know. I didn't know. Started like this.
So it was through working with Ari, and then somewhere along the way, you guys said, "Well, this is a." This particular story, let's make a movie about this?
Yeah, because Harry is not too young, but is a big, big, big climber. Actually, he won also some climbing stuff for people over 50. And he was having a conference in New York, and he was talking about climbing. From an idea, Matthew Modine was there, and he said, I would love to climb with Ari De Luca. And I say, okay, let's make a movie. So we all climb on the Dolomites. So that is the place that Ari loves to go. Matthew Modine didn't make the movie. Eduardo Ponti made the movie. But the idea came just like that.
Really?
Yes.
When you were at the port and introduced your film, one of the things that really struck me, Paolo, was that what you said about finding your way to making this film is that when you were in America and you were working and trying to acclimate to being an American, that you consciously have an ethic for every day.
Yeah.
And that if you have an ethic for every day, over time, sort of the entirety of those ethics become the ethic of your life.
Yeah, and again, I need to say that this I learned from Henry, because everybody asked him, because he studied the Bible, said, what do you think about life? And he said, I think about the day. and I said, my God, this is so true. Because if you get up every morning, you decide to do good things, they lead you to a legacy. And we are all seekers. And we all wanted to do something good. So the ethics of the day for me is to do a good thing that can be cooking for Friendship Shelter or making a movie, but start from the day that becomes your life.
How did that translate to the film for you? Like, can we see your ethics in this film?
Oh yeah, because I found the money with no bribing. I only went and asked, and they gave me the money because it was an amazing idea. And again, if you really believe in what you do, in a weird way, people listen to you. But wasn't so easy, because actually we shoot the movie in Italy, and I forgot that, I don't want to be political, but after 20 years of Berlusconi, women went back. And at a certain point, people were so mean with me. And we had the money, we had the big actors, and I was saying to my director, Eduardo, why are they so mean? And he looked at me and he said, maybe because you are babbling and you are a woman. And I said, oh, gee, I forgot.
There you go.
You know, it's
You've sad. Mentioned your director a few times, but listeners may not recognize the name. Can you give us his background? Because he has an interesting mother.
Yeah.
Speaking
it has
of Mother's
been
Day.
Amazing to work with Edoardo, because, of course, you think Edoardo Ponti is the son of one of the biggest producers that Italy had in the moment where we were used to have beautiful movies, Carlo Ponti, married with Sophia Loren. So we were a little bit scared of working with a son of this amazing icon. But he read the script and he called us and he said, you know, I was in a restaurant, I started to cry because it was so emotional. And since then has been an amazing collaboration. So great that now we are already starting a new project with his mom. And I'm a little bit anxious about it.
You're going to make a film with Sophia Loren?
Yes. So, and we'll start in June.
Really?
Yeah.
Start filming in June?
Yeah.
Wow. What's the project? What are you going to do with Sophia Loren?
She
Sophia
always...
Sophia Loren. Sorry.
Sophia Loren, yes.
Sorry.
No, because in America you say Sophia Loren, yes. We call Sophia Loren. And the beautiful part of it, she's from Naples, like my writer. And Harry became like sort of a father or a mentor of Edoardo. When they shoot the movie in the middle of nowhere in the mountains, they started to be like very, very connected. And Sophia Loren always had a dream. She wanted to do a monologue that was made in the 50s by Roberto Rossellini with Anna Magnani. Anna Magnani has been an icon of the Italian movie. Actually, the movie where Sophia Loren won the award, Anna Magnani wanted to do, and she said no, and Sophia Loren won the Oscar for that movie. La Ciociara, I don't remember the title in English. The first, it was about the Second War, okay. But
I have IMDb, so
I didn't know Sophia Loren won an Academy Award.
Yes.
She won an Academy Award?
Yes, she won an Academy
Award. I have to say that when I was looking for music for the show, she's recorded like 5 or 6 albums. Did you know? She's a singer.
Sophia Loren?
Yeah.
Wow, you know, too many things.
Yeah.
But she had this dream. I don't know. Do you want to put a song? And after I told you about this, the dream about the work that she will do?
What?
Do you want him? No, because I'm talking too much, maybe.
No. Finish your story.
Not at all. It's fascinating.
Finish your story.
No,
she won the Oscar for Two Women.
Yeah, Two Women.
It's,
by Vittorio De Sica, that should have been done by Anna Magnani, but Anna Magnani say, oh, no.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. And Sophia Loren won the Oscar. But she wanted to conclude her career with this monologue that was made in 15 by Anna Magnani of Jean Cocteau. So sad. Was made in black and white, and it's the story of a woman. The name is The Human Voice. A woman talking in the phone with the lover that just left her. She knows that when she will end the call, the story will end forever. So it's like 30 minutes of her, and Roberto Rossellini used to have always the camera fixed on her. Very, very sad. You can see it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But the brilliant idea has been, why don't we take the Jean Cocteau monologue, we translated it from French to Neapolitan, and we made other women interact in the monologue with the touch of Erida Luca that can be very serious but can be so fun in Neapolitan. So it's, yes, an idea of Jean Cocteau, but totally changed for Sophia Loren, that she actually said, more she become old, more she likes to speak in Neapolitan, mm-hmm. because it's something that happens when you are emigrated somewhere, you come back to your roots. And so I believe will be a very, very amazing story. Will be other interactions, and will be in the 50s, after the Second War in Naples, and during an historical moment, very interesting. But I don't want to give you more information about it because the director will kill me.
Okay. But will be amazing. Eduardo Ponte is going to direct his mother?
This is the last signature of Sophia Loren, so it's a gift that she's giving to us, to her son, to all of us.
Wow,
that's amazing.
That is
okay. We're gonna take a break, all right? And then we'll be back in just a second with Paula Perini and The Night Shift Belongs to the Stars. Here's what the kids are listening to in Italy right now.
Sentimento dolce mi troverai.
Welcome back to the Friendship Show here on KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM. Paula, what were we just listening to?
Georgia. I'm really shocked that you know about Georgia because she's not famous in the US.
No.
So, but she's a very good singer.
Oh, really? She's popular?
She's very popular. Very popular in Italy.
What was she singing about?
About love, that we all need a fairy tale love. And she was reminding her boyfriend that he should be better because she's cool. So boyfriends, remember, all of you in the world.
That sounds like many, many American songs, similar theme. Can
we talk, when we were talking about Edward Ponte, who is the director of The Night Shift Belongs to the Stars, who... his parents are very famous and have done lots of work internationally, but he's just one of several very important high-profile people that worked on this project. So this film stars... who are the stars of your film?
Okay, there is this actress that I realize she's famous in US, but in Italy, every man from 18 to 90, when you tell them the name, to do that, Nastasia Kinski, that, you know, is pretty much a big deal for Italy. And
I think Natasha Kinski is a big name for the world.
Anywhere, yeah.
I know, but in Italy, they dreamed about her.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm trying to think, like, who that would be comparable to in America. So she would be like, I don't know, like the Gwyneth Paltrow of America, or...
More.
Really,
because
more?
Because Gwyneth Paltrow is not so sensual like we always thought
Angelina
about that.
Jolie?
Maybe.
Oh, really?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, she's like that.
Yeah, but also because she made movies that were very intellectual, like Wim Wenders movies that we love in Italy. Tess. My God.
Yes.
So it's very special. And Julian Sands, Room with a View. Everybody loves Julian Sands.
Yeah. How do you get Natasha Kinski to be in your movie?
Actually, in a very simple way. We called her.
That's a good start.
Yes.
Good start.
But
okay, you know, but I'm going to say the hard part in that is, who has Natasha Kinski's phone number?
His agent.
Nice.
That actually say, you know what? You talk to her. I say, okay. Sometimes, you know, you think that things are so complicated, so you go in the easiest way, and sometimes works.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you call Natasha Kinski?
Yes.
You just called her because you wanted her to be in the movie?
Yes.
What did you say?
Oh, actually, my co-partner called her, because sometimes on the phone I'm afraid that I can make mistakes, even if she speaks fluently Italian. Mm-hmm. She speaks perfectly Italian. We say to her, you know, there is this writer, Eri De Luca, that is so famous, that wrote this. Do you want to read it? Do you want to go on vacation on the Dolomites this summer? And who doesn't want to go in the most beautiful mountains in the world with Eri De Luca, that she knew how famous he was?
The Dolomites is the mountain range that...
Yeah, we say Dolomiti. I think they are breathless. The beauty of those mountains is like...
So where is that in Italy?
It's in the region of Trentino that you should all go, not only because it's so beautiful, but because they gave us a lot of money to make this movie. They deserve to be known.
Well, it really does function as a bit of a travelogue for that. I mean, you see this film and you want to be there. You want to see.
And I'm telling you, everybody was so... Julian Sands was like that. So, Dolomites, I'm there.
Really? Because so they're just like, yeah, I'll do that.
He's a climber. With Julian Sands, we didn't even discuss about money. Because he said, I love Dolomites. I wanted to come. And so, and Enrico Loverso, that is not so famous in US, but in Italy is very famous. He did Farinelli. I don't know if you remember the movie Farinelli.
He did?
Yes. He was the brother of the singer.
Really?
Yeah. He did L'America.
Who directed the movie Farinelli? Do you know? Do you remember?
The director?
No. Yeah. Do you remember the director? I know I saw that movie.
Thank you.
Because that was a few years ago, though, right?
A few years ago. Yeah. And actually, he did so many movies. He's so famous in Italy, but not so much. For Farinelli, they were nominated to the Oscar. I'm not good with names because I'm a new producer.
Right.
But she's good. And Harry actually had a little part too in the movie.
He does have a little part in the movie.
Yes.
And he's very good.
He is very talented. Eduardo was like shocked because he is a talented guy.
Yeah.
He can sing, he play guitar, he can act. But he's also an hermit. It's so weird.
So I want to go back because my geography of Italy is very bad. Yeah. So the mountain range that starts with the D.
Trentino.
Is where in Italy? Yeah.
It's very, very, very north. And I can say something very fun about how Italians are complicated.
Showing her the director.
That is a French director.
Gerard Corbiou.
Yes, good job, French.
I took French, yeah. Not Italian.
No, thank you. And we shoot the movie in Trentino. There is this region called Trentino Alto Adige. But because after the Second War, part of it was before with Austria and Germany and became part of it, they decided that this region need to have special rules. So they have two different, governors, one from Alto Adige, one from Trentino, but we are talking about a very small region. So most of the money has been given by the Trentino Film Commission, not from the Alto Adige Film Commission. So I need to sign 40 pages saying that I will never mention Alto, that means tall in Italy.
Oh, really?
Adige, that will not step our feet on Alto Adige. And so every time we were shooting, we were all laughing. Say, okay, now, where is my feet? In Alto Adige or in Trentino? It's because the mountains, how can you split the mountains? Yes. So it was kind of fun.
Are they competitive up there with each other?
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
Alto Adige, they don't think they are Italians. They speak Ladin. They don't speak Italian.
What do they speak?
Ladin, it's a sort of dialect that is a mix of German and Italian.
Wow.
And so it's like when they see you Italian, they talk Ladin to you just to bother you. But they are good people, but they are really their own people.
I found that when I was in Europe, I found that in several countries that where you get, where borders cross, that there's like this mix of languages that happens and they don't necessarily identify with any particular country. It's like, no, we're our own thing. We just happen to live
Trentino
in this country.
Trentino is more Italian, but still you need to learn German at school. It's mandatory. And every sign on the freeway, highway, everywhere is Italian, German, and Latin.
Wow.
Does Germany border Italy? That's not true, is it?
Yeah.
Does it?
And also Austria, yes.
Okay. Can I tell you my quick European German-Italian story, and I'll make it really quick. Okay.
Nope.
So I was
you
in...
You can talk.
No, I was in Europe, and I was supposed to fly out of Europe on a particular day, and I'd been there for like 3 months. I had like $10 in my pocket. I had no money, and I needed to go home to America. I got to the Amsterdam train station, and Amsterdam was on the cover of Time magazine. So the whole city was shut down and in chaos because they were partying in Amsterdam for being in Time magazine. It made the train station off schedule and I missed my plane. They said to me, you can come back in a week and we can fly you back to America then for no extra money, or you can pay $300 today and we can fly you home. I said, I don't have $300. They said, come back in a week. I said, I don't have any money. They said, that's not our problem. So I got on a train and headed down to Italy because it's like I am now homeless in Europe. On the way down to Italy, I met a man on the train in Germany, and I have relatives who still live in Germany. And he said, where are you going? And I told him my story and that I didn't have any money, but I'm going down to Italy to sleep on the beach for a week because I can't afford a place to stay. And he said, I just got a new job. Here's $100. So he gave me $100. I went down to Europe. I was too tired to go to the Mediterranean side. So I went to the Adriatic side, to a small town called Pesaro.
Pesaro.
What? How do you say?
Pesaro.
Pesaro. So I went down to Pesaro. And while I was there, and then you're just like hanging out on this beautiful beach and the water's warm and sunny and all these sorts of things. And that's all I did all day. And there was some little place on the beach where you could go up and get some pasta for lunch and all that. And then I had a wonderful time. And then nighttime comes and I'm like, well, it's dark and I don't have any money to spend on wine or beer or anything. So it's time to go to bed now. We've all been at the beach. I get into my tent and all of a sudden I hear all of this music and there's like lights flashing all over the place. And I come out of my tent and the whole beach has turned into an outdoor discotheque. And then all of these Italians who are on vacation, who are on holiday, start coming out of their tents, and they've just been walking around in their bathing suits all day. And all of a sudden, everyone's wearing this gorgeous Gucci leather, and their hair is all done. And then everyone danced until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Pizarro? Pesaro.
Pesaro. And I thought you were doing the same in California. I got very disappointed when I came here.
If you can't find Main Beach, you're not going to get a disco.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask a question? I'm curious about your film. It was based on a short story, correct?
Yes.
And what was it about the short story or the characters within the short story that fascinated you the most? Because you probably had your pick of almost anything, right?
Yeah.
What was it about this story in particular?
This one, there are two things that really, really struck me. One is the gift of giving that Friendship Shelter knows very well. Like, you can give 1 hour of your time or your heart. Physically. So it's about organ donation and to be aware that you can really save lives, but also you can save lives in different ways. So was the gift of giving. But also because he was talking about loyalty, and I really believe that if we all remember how to be loyal, it was about a promise that has been accomplished, about having a goal with a friend. There were in this little short, you can find all the ethics of life.
Friendship and love, and the difference between friendship and love, and how those intermingle.
All the three characters are loyal to each other.
And a testament to his writing abilities, I suspect, yeah, to be able to convey all that in such a short period of time.
26 minutes? 30?
23
minutes.
And for those who may not know, can you just, a quick synopsis
of
the story?
It's about a man and a woman, Nastasia Kinski and Enrico Loverso, that met in a hospital. He just had a heart transplant. They put on his chest a heart of a woman. And for sure, he will be better off with the heart of a woman. Sorry, guys. But
that's true, though.
And she had a mitral valve. And they both faced this terrible threat with life and death, and they say, and because they are both climbers, they say if everything goes well, in 6 months we'll meet in the Dolomites and we'll climb this amazing wall. I don't know how you say in English wall. And so it's about their journey to regain their trust in life, about the beauty of life and the beauty of giving, mm-hmm. because it's all about giving
and risk. I think too, risk. The other thing about, you know, coming just off of a big surgery like that, and choosing life, choosing to take a risk, choosing to not go into your shell. I really, that resonated with me, especially the husband of the
Julian
Sands character, Mateo, who was just kind of this. I mean, not one. In some ways, it's about the other two, but really his journey of letting her do this and. But yet wanting to be right there with her. Was
understanding
beautiful.
It.
Just beautiful. And understanding it. Yeah.
And it's the conflict. We all are human. So we have weakness and down and up. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you do what you feel in the right way, you win.
Yeah. And we don't want to spoil the end.
No.
But the end has this beautiful message about letting go but staying close.
Yeah.
You know, that's really beautiful.
So what happens to this film now? So first of all, I'm amazed that you're even in Laguna Beach and that you're able to be here, because I imagine you're about to begin an international press tour to talk about all the accolades that this film has gotten. But at the end of the day, it's a beautiful film, but it is a short film.
Yeah, it is a short film.
And so what happens to this film now?
No, what I realized in my new business world is that shorts really are special, because you don't have majors like Warner Bros. That tell you, that dictate what to do with your movie. So you can really give the
best. I'm
sorry,
go back a minute. You don't have what?
Big major company.
Did
like
you say Wonder Bros?
She said Warner Brothers.
Oh, Warner Brothers. She said Wonder Bros. I'm like, that's really random, Paula.
Sorry, I told you. 13 years.
Paula's next film brought to you by the Wonder Bros.
Sponsored by Wonder Bros.
awesome. They gave us money, we'll
exactly,
be happy.
Exactly. Everyone, put your Wonder Bra on. It's
Who
time
cares?
To shoot. Yeah.
You know.
We now know exactly where Mark's mind
is. But it's like short movies. You can now, also because of recession all over the world, it's easier to make a short movie. So, but my next project will be a film feature.
Will be a feature?
Yes, because I have bigger stories that this one could be a film feature.
Just could have been, have been expanded.
And is will you do that with this film? Is it possible? Because lots of times, especially when you have kind of the impressive group of people that you have, lots of times people will make the short film so that they can show it to people and say, we'd like to expand on this film. Would you like to work with us?
Listen, people all over the world, if you wanted to give us the money to make a film feature, we are ready.
I have a camera in my pocket right now.
Yeah, okay.
So. Oh. All right, awesome. How long in America have you been now?
Sorry. Doesn't sound like, but it's 13 years.
13 years?
What brought you here? Oh,
men, women always move for the wrong reasons. Love.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I met this American guy in Italy, and the first thing I say to him, I say, you know, I will never move from Italy. You know that? So, never say never.
Right. 6 weeks later.
No, 3 years later, I moved, and I really got very, very upset. I hate this country. I knew all about this country because we grew up with you guys. And after I discovered this amazing America that I don't want to be emphatic because, but I really became an American citizen because I really loved your country. It grew on me. It grew on me because you are so straight. You are so direct. You say things in a very direct way. I come from a country where everything is colluded and complicated.
Really?
It is. Really? Yes. Yeah. You, and here people listen to you, but you need to say something interesting. You cannot BS people. In Italy, you need, it's so difficult. Yeah, you can talk with everybody if you have something good to say. In Italy, we are still too much of a class society. And I love Italy, don't get me wrong. And I opened a branch of my company in Italy because with this movie I found amazing professional people. But the culture of Italy didn't grow like you did.
Interesting. That is interesting because I think of Italians as being like very straightforward and sort of wearing their hearts on their sleeve and knowing exactly what Italians think all the time. Not true?
Not so true. I love Italy, I love Italians, but we are an old country with a lot of, I don't want to say negativity, but people don't have a job, but we have a lot of problems.
Really?
So did you come directly to Laguna Beach?
Or? I was so lucky. Directly to
that
Laguna
helps
Beach.
Helps you fall in love with America if you land in Laguna Beach.
You know why I fall in love for America and not anymore so much for my husband? It's because he said, okay, this is America, bye, I need to go to work. And I say, now what I do? I didn't even know how to buy a piece of bread because I study French, I didn't study English. Everybody helped me. Everybody. I need to say that I love this country so much because I didn't need to impress anybody. Everybody was saying, do you need help? I help you. I don't care who you are. Looks like you need help. And I know that is not all in this way. I don't want to sound naive, but really my personal experience has been amazing.
That's great.
Amazing.
Is there a strong Italian community?
No.
Down here? No?
No.
It's
no.
You and Santina and that's it?
Yeah, and Paolo Emiliana, my two friends, the neurobiologists, you should invite them. They are big scientists. We are very
really?
Few people. Yes, but Italians abroad, they say, they are a little bit stuck up sometimes. So,
did you know Santina before you moved here? Or she?
No.
This is Paola's wonderful friend, Santina Davies, who is on the speaker
Dias,
yeah, there we go, with Paola. And you're both from Italy, but you didn't know each other before here.
No.
So how did you meet Santina?
Because we walked on the street for an art walk, uh-huh. And she asked me, oh, you are Italian. Oh, I am Italian. She's a special Italian. She's Sicilian.
Oh, is she?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that about Santina.
Oh, my God.
Wow. She's Sicilian.
Sicilian attitude.
Oh, she's I was gonna say that's she no wonder tough. She's no she's wonder she's tough. Successful. Yeah, yeah, it's like really there's is. No other way.
They are different, but for a good reason. They are really special people. They got you. I really suggest you if you didn't see the Leopard. The Leopard, the movie, but with Bart Lancaster. The leopard is the animal. How you call
leopard?
Leopard. Like pesar. Sorry.
Leopard. That's leopard in America.
You will understand Sicilians because I think the Americans have always a vision of Sicilians like, they know how to make pizza, but they are so intellectual, so amazing. Their culture is a mix of all the culture from. The North, the barbarians, they invaded them, and the Arabic, they invaded them. They got invaded by everybody, so they really have a special brain. And I'm not Sicilian, but I always say to people, do you know about Sicily? Because I think everybody.
What region are you from?
Okay, my mom is from Umbria, and my dad is from Abruzzo, so I really lived in between these two regions. One is in the Adriatic coast. Close to Pesaro.
Oh, nice.
Down below Pesaro. And another one is between Florence and Rome, Perugia. So I went to school between Teramo, my hometown, because I was born in Teramo, and Perugia. And actually I went also to university to Urbino, that is very close to Pesaro.
Oh, really?
Yes. Urbino is a middle-aged town, like 10 kilometers from Pesaro. Pesaro is a very... Italy is so special because it's so beautiful. If we only could change the mind of corrupted politicians.
When I trained into Italy, I stopped in Milan at the Milan train station where I lived for 3 days because I was homeless in Europe. it's one of the most beautiful buildings I've ever seen in my entire life, the train station in Milan.
I know.
But when I was in Milan, it was a ghost town. Because it was like in August and all the Italians are on vacation. And I mean, like, you couldn't find a place to buy a cup of coffee in the city of Milan in the month of August. It's like, yeah, no, nobody's here.
Now they changed and we became more international, I need to say.
The American tourists will be there, so they'll open it up. Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was great.
And we need money. Yeah, so.
Can I come back?
What did you study in university?
Oh, I did very weird. A school called ISEF in Perugia that was physical education. I have a very weird past. And after I did the sociology in Urbino, okay. I am been a seeker ever, but now I think I found my way.
I think you did too.
Yeah.
Scott, you had a question.
I had a question. Come back to the film for a moment. For the listeners who may want to view your film, how would you advise them to get that done? First question.
Oh, no, like how can... Sorry, because there is a... What did you say? Like how can they see or how...
Yes.
Okay. We still didn't get distributed in US. We got distributed in Italy. And actually, it's very interesting because in Italy, we did a box with the short and a documentary movie of 1 hour about organ donation and a book that is a journal of our adventure. Very beautiful box. Harry wrote. I even brought a page.
It's like a box set. It's got the film. It's got the documentary. It's got the book. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And now we are very focused on festivals. And in a few months we will start the distribution. So for now, the next one will be Palm Springs in June.
Ooh, really? You're going to the Palm Springs Film
Festival?
Yeah,
you should all come with me. It's
a really good film festival they have out
there,
by the way.
It's amazing. And they will be all the programmers of Tribeca. I really tell all of you people, come over, because it will be my first experience, but they told me it's very beautiful.
Oh, yeah. You've never been to Palm Springs?
No, I went to Palm Springs, but I didn't go to this festival.
To the film festival.
Yeah.
And then as a producer, what would you say was your biggest challenge as a first-time producer? What was your biggest challenge?
To be listened to, like in Italy, because the money has not been, I know it sounds weird, but I found money in Italy because the material, what I was giving them was so beautiful that they all say yes. So the money was given by the Trentino Film Commission, by two companies that decide to invest. And I think this is the future. If we wanted to rebuild in Italy the movie industry, we really need to hope that there will be companies like Pasta Garofalo, that is a small company, that decide to invest in movies. So good people all around the world that decide to not do commercials, but to help great projects. And another company called Montura, they do climbing equipments. And it has been one of the few times that the lady that did the costume ladies said, usually when she shoot movies, nobody wants to have the clothes of the movie. Everybody stole the clothes. They were so beautiful. Uh-huh. Because they are all equipment for the mountain, but very, very, very well done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the biggest challenge really, it has been to be a woman.
And to be heard. And to be listened to.
Listen to Italians, because Italians say, and you really, there is still this idea that to be taken seriously, you need to be a mean bitch, sorry. Mm-hmm. Instead, if you go in a serious way, smiling and say, you know, I have this big project, do you want to work with me? I give you money, I pay you. They say, I don't believe you. I say, what? So this has been the biggest challenge, to work in Italy with very... how you say macho people?
Machismo.
Machismo, you say, yeah. But my crew, we were 45 people, amazing. They could make a movie in Hollywood. They were so professional. We worked from 6 a.m. until midnight. It was such a, and they were always smiling, professional. We never smiling. I never smiled because I always was afraid that somebody could fall off of the cliff. But there is a minority of Italians that are amazing, but you need to look for them.
You were on location with the film? Like, did you go up the mountain?
Yes, but not so much like them. They really, everybody learned how to climb. We had even drama scenes. Actually, in Alto Adige, they were shooting a movie with Claudia Cardinale. Do you remember Claudia Cardinale, this famous Italian actress? She's kind of Sophia Loren, but a little bit.
Who?
Claudia Cardinale. She made a lot of famous movies. She's old now, but they even got hit by a, how you call it? Thunderstorm.
Oh,
and
lightning?
Six people went to the hospital. Oh, so we were always praying. We don't pray, but we all prayed.
Right.
Because the weather in the mountains is like crazy.
Yeah. Really? Mm. So now that the film has been so successful and has won an international film festival, do people approach you now and say, would you please bring your film here?
Oh, yeah, of course. Nice. Now everybody, before we were submitted.
Now everybody wants to talk to you.
So weird to be famous. I'm joking. No, but they are approaching us. They are inviting us. They are waiving fees for festival. We don't need to pay anymore to go to festival.
This is when you have to say, we would love to bring our film to your festival. How much is the first prize?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So no, we are playing, but really changes when you win some prizes. Really changes.
Good. So, where do you go from here now? Are you going to stay in the film business, or are you going to find some new adventure?
I will co-produce this movie with Edoardo Ponti and Sophia Loren, and I'm working in this project of this book of Harry De Luca called The Crime of a Soldier. Very interesting story, but you will invite me another time for that.
Absolutely.
And we'll do a television show with you guys.
There we go.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That was just cooked
up
today.
That was our idea.
Just to let you know, keep in touch.
Yeah. It's going to be an HBO miniseries.
Yes, but not only. Also in French. We go to Europe.
Oh, see, this is what I love about you, Zasha. You're so international. You know, here, you know, we're so stuck, you know, where we think like if it doesn't happen in Los Angeles, then it can't happen. And it's like,
but it's not.
The world's a big place.
We are all neighbors of this world.
Exactly. Exactly.
Has been exactly how I thought it would be. Just a lot of fun.
Flew by.
Thank you.
It was a great show.
Just a lot of fun. Paula, thank you so much.
Sorry
for
if I
here.
Talk too much. I get excited.
Oh, talking too much on the radio is a good thing.
No, I don't think you can talk too much on the radio. No, it was great to have you here. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank
congratulations
you.
On your success
we're
with
so
this
proud
film.
Mwah.
Thank you.
Mwah. and good luck on whatever you do in the future.
I think thank that's the guys. First on-air kiss you've ever given.
Have you seen the guest?
Wow.
Scott, Dawn, you got anything? Anything to wrap this up?
Thanks very much. And it looks like we have a crowd of people coming on for the next show.
What is that? That's Ida May.
Ida May's show. Looks like she's got about 57 people waiting out there.
And, oh, really?
And
oh.
only I feel as though I've been in the presence of an extraordinary woman. So that was a great experience for me.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah.
So you know why I love Laguna Beach now.
Laguna Beach loves you.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5 FM. Up next is Ida May. She's getting it hooked up. We'll be back in a few minutes.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him, you might say.